happens every time.
One of my least favorite things is when you're praying in a group of people and your stomach growls.
Oh yeah.
That's a worst case scenario type of thing, because you're just like, I can't help it. I don't know what's happening. My tummy's just growling.
There's nothing you can do about it, because everyone thinks worst case scenario, and you're like, no, it's just a growling.
I'm just a little hungry or something.
I'm just like hungry, or there's just something in there. I don't know.
I just need a tasty morsel. I know we're praying to the Lord and everything.
Tasty morsel.
That's happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
It's your birthday.
27. Ooh, that's so scary.
27 years old.
That's so freaky, man. 27 feels so freaky. I don't know why.
You're a pup.
Yeah, sure. But it's amazing.
Feels so long ago, 27.
Oh, it doesn't for me. It feels so recent.
Especially because it started today.
It started today. No, it's so weird. I don't understand it. I can say, like, you know, 15 years ago, and it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. It's not like when you're 18, you say 15 years ago, and people are like, you were three.
You were, right.
Yeah, no, it's like
15 years ago, you were playing Little League or something.
Yeah,
like that.
15 years ago, I was definitely doing that. That's exactly what I was doing.
That was before you destroyed your shoulder 15 years ago?
That was probably when I destroyed my shoulder, and then it, like, finally happened in high school. It just, like...
You had to actually get surgery.
Yeah, it gave up the ghost in high school. It was, like, holding on by a piece of floss.
Is there any, like, scotch tape was about how your labrum was hanging in
there?
Yeah,
it was just, like...
Is there anything that you have always done on your birthday? Like, do you have any birthday traditions, or like that your family does, or that like, or like little sneaky tea things that you just do on your own? Like, you like to think about this or do this on your birthday?
No, I just, we don't, my family is like the, it's so funny there. It's my mom's birthday too. So we have the same.
I always forget that. And Beck, like, the greatest birthday present she ever got was that she got to be in labor and have you.
It was a C-section. That's pretty awesome, right? No, there's not really any.
Happy birthday. Here's some major abdominal surgery.
Hey, here you go. Hey, your son is struggling. We're going to cut you open to get him out of you. There you go. That's happy birthday.
Also, look at the size of this kid's head. This was always going to go this way.
Yes. my family is definitely like a, you know, night before your birthday. Oh, do you want to go get dinner or something? Type of family.
Yeah, since your birthday not only falls right after Christmas, but it's also your mom's birthday. It's just like it's. I always feel bad for people that have those Christmassy birthdays. Nora does as well. Hers is January 2nd, mm-hmm. And. It's just one of those things of like, do you want to celebrate this in June or something?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to get some separation here? Like, people, like, if relatives come in, they'll bring her birthday present with the Christmas presents. Mm. And then they're like, you can open it. And I'm always like, no.
Yeah.
No, you can't open it. Don't open it yet. Open your Christmas present and wait. Yeah. It's another present. And then she always gives me a very dissatisfied look.
Yeah, a very common thing for me when I was younger was you would get a gift that was birthday / Christmas. You got one gift. It was like,
oh, that's rough.
It'd be from your friend. You'd be like, what did I get you two? Why didn't you get me one? It's so funny. But it is what it is. I'm grateful to have a wife on my birthday. It's amazing. She woke me up at midnight and told me happy birthday. That was really sweet.
Hi, Maddie.
Hey to you.
Oh, birthday coffee.
Oh, look a birthday coffee.
With the balloon.
Maddie just showed up. Hi, Maddie.
Lee said hi, Maddie.
Hello, Lee.
She says hi, hello, Lee.
Birthday coffee.
Thomas's wife
just came into the room, gave him a coffee, and it's got a helium balloon attached to it.
Where does one
so
get
a literal,
helium balloon?
It's a literal
in 2020.
It's a literal pick me up.
Mm. Yeah, it would fly away if I wasn't holding on to it. See you, coffee. Bye, coffee.
That one sip was really good.
Mm. This is like probably the most disorganized opening of a podcast we've ever had.
I feel even sleepier than normal
today. Yeah, me too. And it's funny. Here we are.
Well, so I'm a guy that wakes up early anyway, but like for some reason, so the last 4 days when I've woken up, I have a new task in the morning, which is the first thing I do every morning is, you know, brush my teeth. But then after that, I usually get the rabbit some food. Well, now I also have to take the dog out.
Yeah.
So,
dog man. 'Cause
we got a dog.
Dog man.
And so it's like, it's on my mind when my alarm goes off. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going immediately outdoors.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, like a few days ago, it was like 14 degrees or something.
Mm. I just pictured her pee freezing coming out of her. I don't know why. Because it was 14 degrees.
That's
what?
Just really terrible. Did you have to take your dog out, Jake, when you had him?
No, we just let him out. It was one of those things. Except for the corgi that we had was pretty. He was one of those that would just disappear for a while, and you're like, well, he may be dead, he may not be. Who knows? And then he'd come back with like when you live in a neighborhood. Like I lived in as a kid, which is just like there's a lot of space and there's a lot of woods, there's a lot of wildlife. You find out that dogs like to roll in deer poop, and it happens a lot, and it's disgusting.
That's not good.
And they always would just, if they ever disappeared for like 30 minutes and came back, they would just have like, it looked like war paint, and you're just like, why do you smell so bad? And then you pretend like you weren't the one who found them.
Welcome to ancient. Oh no! So you wouldn't have to do it. Welcome to a Bible study podcast that has really gone off the rails so quickly. It's as we're recording this. It's December 30th. It's Thomas's 27th birthday, and he's having birthday coffee. And we're going to talk about some scriptures that have been meaningful to us, capturing our imagination this week. And do you want to begin?
Oh sure.
You want to start us off?
Sure. You know, this is, I was telling Maddie this last night. I just kind of, oh, I'm not going to look in there for my scripture. I'm going to do it online. I just kind of picked up in the book of John after Christmas. And it's kind of a cool starting point because it's, in its own way, it feels like it's the beginning of something, which is really cool, but it's not a Christmas story.
Yeah, it's like the incarnation. He deals with the incarnation, but not in a Christmassy vibe at all.
Right. Yeah, and it also like usually Christmas time for me is filled with a lot of that Andrew Peterson album, Behold the Lamb of God, and early. And this year, I didn't listen to it until like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and it was just it was sweet, but it also just brought me here because of the phrase "Behold the Lamb of God," you know, I think it's it's so sweet. It's such an endearing thing that Jesus is called, but it's also not because of it's John saying like, "Here he comes, the sacrifice, the one who's going to be slaughtered." So it's right. I think it's such a cool name, but then you think deeper to it and it's like, oh wait, this also is like very telling from the moment that you start your ministry, this is what's happening to you, which is so interesting. But I was caught by something here a little further down in John chapter 1. I actually read this morning, starting in verse 43.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite chapters of scripture, just the whole thing. John chapter 1, you get like just beautiful writing from John. You get this thing from John the Baptist where they're kind of trying to get him to say who he is, and it's just, it's so interesting. And then you get Jesus' first words with his disciples, and it's unique compared to all the other gospels, and I love that. But I'm going to start in verse 43. It says, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth, can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' And Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" There's all these cool layers to this. I know there was at least one episode on here where we've talked about this scene where the scene where Nathanael is like chilling under a tree and apparently Jesus sees him, and there's some type of connection that happens there because of something that we don't know off screen. You know, there's something that Nathanael is doing under that fig tree that is of importance when Jesus brings it up. There's something he's saying, there's something he's doing, there's something he's whatever, whether he's praying or whatever, that flips a switch in Nathanael. But the thing that I kept just being tripped up on, and it happens before this in the previous passage as well, but the word "found" just keeps coming up, right? Like, there's in verse 43, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, 'Follow me.'" Just the idea of Jesus finding Philip. And then it's so interesting because two verses later, it says Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one," which I'm like, no, you didn't. You didn't find him. He found you. It says in the verse before, you know, like Jesus found Philip, but then Philip turns around and says to Nathanael, "We found the one." And it's so interesting.
Yeah.
But that's a thing that I just have kind of grasped onto in the beginning of John. It was like trying to find an answer about like the question of like, hey, what does this say about me? Who does this say that I am? And then applying that word to me, like, what if I just thought about myself today as someone who is found? And then kind of going a level deeper to that, I love the idea that in this case, Philip goes and finds Nathanael. Right before this, there's another instance where Andrew goes and finds Peter. Like, he like goes and gets him to tell him about Jesus. And I think about most of us in our walk with the Lord, there's been at some point someone who found us and like pulled us in to tell us about Jesus. And it made me super thankful for people like that in my life. And then it made me just to dive deeper and to think of myself as one who Jesus found, whether that was through someone else or just him on his own, like saying, no, actually I saw you while you were under that fig tree over there. It's encouraging to, like, you know, use that word to describe who I am and to think about who I am in moments where I struggle to know what that is when I'm, you know, staring at a computer screen for the sixth hour in a row after not talking to anybody all day and just, like, typing emails and whatever, to think, like, because that's a moment in my life where I can easily say, like, who the heck am I? What am I doing right now? This does not make sense to me. And then to take that word and to apply that to myself and say, like, okay, this is something that's very clearly true about me. I was found by Jesus. Right. He paid for me. He is the Lamb of God who took away my sin. And it was super encouraging for me to read that this morning.
Well, it's also like, you know, it's like when you are... you know, in a more normal year, when we're going after high school guys or we're reaching out to guys that are in the prison or whatever it is, when you're following up with old your guys that are in college and stuff like that now, it's like you were found and then you went and found them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and some of them have gone on to go find other people.
Right.
And that, it's such a cool thing how it's a cool way to think about discipleship, that like that Jesus found those guys and then they went and found somebody else. They went and found, you know, Andrew went and found his brother. And I also loved in this little section, there's a, how like Philip is already talking like Jesus. Like when Philip says to Nathaniel, like, come and see,
mm-hmm.
like, come and you will see. And which is exactly what Jesus said to Andrew and John. And you can imagine like Andrew and John telling Simon and then telling Philip that story. Mm. And how many times had they told that story in the next couple of days or whatever? And then Philip saying that to Nathaniel and like almost even like chuckling to himself as he says the come and see part. Like he's like, oh, I'm already talking like him. You know, it's like Jesus said to Philip, like, follow me. And he's like, and he already is. Mm. Not only is he going to find other people, but he's already talking like Jesus too. And I think this is just such a cool, it's just such a cool, like real-time example of how discipleship works.
Mm-hmm.
He found me, I find other people, they ask the same questions I asked, and then I'm already talking like him.
Right, oh yeah, that's, you know, totally
and
true.
it's just such a cool and a plain, you know, this is like, the Gospel of John is not like a theological textbook. It's not like, if you want people to come to know Jesus, this is the problem humanity has. These are the ways that you can understand the, you know, the issues of the human heart. All those kinds of books and those kinds of essays and those kinds of articles are important, but that's not the way John is set up. It's, mm-hmm. it's, we're unfolding a story that Jesus found some guys. Those guys found their friends. They're already talking like him. Like, it's just happening. They're just changing. The following is, I do what he does and I talk like he talks, and then you know, tomorrow there'll be more of us. Mm. You know, it's just like, it's just happening. It's growing. And I think that's such a cool thing. I think I loved that the thing that you were saying about just like the way you look at yourself as a found person, that is such a sweet thing. Mm. I've been reading this Henry Nouwen book this year, and over and over and over again in that book, the thing that's been such a gift to me is him just saying like, hey, if you can get your mind around and believe that you are the beloved of God, that's the best gift you can possibly give people. Mm. Is your own personal joy in knowing that you have been loved, that God loves you.
Mm.
And that that he loves you like that, and that he found you. I just think that's such a cool thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'll never get over the way that the disciples just stop everything they're doing and they just go. It's amazing. Mm. It's so fascinating to me. And also there's a thing that I just noticed in here in verse 45 where he said the son of Joseph, when describing Jesus, which I don't know. That was so interesting to me, because they obviously knew a little bit about him at that point in order to say that.
Yeah.
But there was something about him that was enough to say, like, whatever the thing is I'm doing at this exact moment, I'm going to stop and I'm going to just go. You know, like, you know, at least Peter, at least, I don't know if he left his wife for this. I don't know if she trailed behind. I don't know. It's interesting. There's so much where they just, like, whether it was the sons of thunder just dropping their nets and leaving their dad, whatever it is, there's just, like, there's this interesting, there's a magnetism about Jesus here that, like, I get in my spiritual life, which is amazing, and that they got on a certain level just by being with him in person that must have just been so amazing to see. I think it's so cool.
It's also just so human. Like, this, it's just so real life that you would tell somebody, like, hey, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting on for thousands of years, we literally found him. And the first thing Nathaniel does is like bake on this other little town. He's like, Nazareth, really?
Mm.
Like, that's so human. It's just like, if it's like that time we were driving to Chicago and we had to get diverted off the interstate, and we're driving through like little places in you know, little rural neighborhood in Kentucky. And Nick Waraxa woke up and just said, like, hey, TBH, guys, this is exactly what I thought Kentucky would look like. It was just kind of ratty, you know? It was like, it's just one of those neighborhoods. And, like, and that's the first thing that comes out of Nathaniel's mouth is, like, not, like, jumping up and down, like, what? You found him? That's amazing. The first thing he thinks of doing is just, like, baking on Nazareth.
Yeah. It's amazing, too, that Jesus calls him a true Israelite, and he clearly is not Israelite enough to know that there's a prophecy about
him being a Nazarene.
Yeah. Like, gosh, that's amazing.
That's funny, dude.
Whatever.
I want to go to Psalm 107.
Psalm 107. Ooh. Okay.
Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is really long, and
but it's good, man.
It is. It's cool. It kind of tells
I just blind typed in the word Psalm into my computer, and it accidentally spelled it. Whatever I typed came out to be OALM. I don't know what word that is. 107. So it didn't pull up anything.
I'll take OLM 107. Psalm 107 is cool. All of the Psalms are poetry and songs, but there's a very poetical way that it talks about different things, like just the way the Lord works in different people's lives and how, like, he turns the desert into springs of water and then brings the thirsty into them. And, like, there's this whole scene about these guys that were in kind of a, they were in a boat and the Lord saved them from a storm at sea, which, like, it harkens to when Jesus calms the storm, way back here in Psalm 107, because it says that the Lord spoke and he hushed the storm to a whisper, you know. And you're like, it's just it's a really, really cool psalm. But there's a thing at the very end of this psalm, the very last verse, that I thought was a really cool way to kind of end 2020 for us in this podcast. And yeah, let's please end 2020. It says this. This is verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. I recently just finished reading the book of Philippians again, and there's that thing in Philippians 4 about, like, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is, you know, like, whatever is beautiful, like, lovely and, like, pure, like, think on these things.
Such things.
And, think on such things. Yeah, but, like, I love the way Psalm 107 says kind of a similar idea, which is, let the wise, like, ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. That God has done things for me because he loves me. And one of the wisest things I can do for myself is to think about them on purpose, to intentionally, like, ponder them, to mull them over, to chew on them, to think about it. And it's like, you know, I mean, there are so many things, like, when I first read this and saw that verse, I just kind of, like, sat down my Bible and just, like, took a minute just to, like, survey the year. And it's really easy, I think, in 2020, maybe easier than most years, to think about all the awful things that have happened this year and just how difficult this year has been and how much staggering loss we've had and how many confusing, disorienting things we've all had to endure in different ways. But to take a beat and to, like, not have any music on, to have a quiet moment in a quiet room and just to think intentionally, what were things that God did specifically because he loves me? Like, just loving deeds of the Lord. And it was like a totally different kind of exercise. And it was a really sweet thing to do, you know? I just thought about, like, different, like, surprises this year has brought, and, like, that were unique, you know, because my kids were home, because, you know, because like, you know, because we got Jack a PlayStation, like we like we have so much fun like playing video games with my buddy Charlie in Denver, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're connecting like with him and his kids like probably every 3 days or something like that, which was like not a thing before that. Like because of the situation, like my sister's business closed, and like for some reason because of that, like she and I communicate more. Like we, you know, she doesn't go to bed as early because she's not a baker anymore. Mm. And like we just communicate more. We text back and forth more. We talk on the phone more. Like it's just been a sweeter thing. Like, you know, Christy and I have just ways of connecting and different like walks that we do and stuff like that that are different because of this time. And these are things that God has brought in my life. And it's cool to think about the way this verse is constructed and to categorize them intentionally as these were deeds that the Lord did out of love because he loves me. It's not just like, I want to see the silver lining in a hard year. It's no, I'm going to think about beautiful things that have happened to me, and I'm going to intentionally categorize them as these have come from God's heart of love for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my favorite thing in this whole psalm is just the way it starts, you know? Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. It's so cool because it's easy for us to chalk things up, especially in a hard year, just to throw that whole line of this out the window to the idea that his love endures forever and he is good. All those things go away really quickly when things don't go well for us. Like,
right.
That's one of the first things to go. God becomes a scapegoat, I think, when things aren't going well. It's just like...
yeah.
It's interesting. And I'm not pointing at people into that. I'm saying that about myself. Like, for some reason, he's the one to get all the blame right away. And this psalm is saying, like, actually, no, he is good. He is good. And then not only that, but you need to remember those things and you need to chew on them. And I'm like you, man. When I think back on this year, one, it's crazy if you haven't done it yet to sit down and think of all the things that have happened this year that have been crappy, because it's like, whoa, a lot of things got packed into 365 days. It's nuts.
Yeah.
In two days when this comes out, and tomorrow, the day after, when we flip the calendar page over, not that all doesn't just go away all of a sudden. Like it's interesting because I think that's like a thing that I heard this on like a sneaky little like guilty pleasure of mine is listening to Sports Talk in Knoxville, which is just painful, but it's also like fun. It's just fun to listen to. I'm like, where are they going to go today? What are they going to talk about? It's amazing. But one of the hosts was like, I cannot wait to get this over with and like be done with. And I was like, well, you know, we're not going to flush the toilet on December 31st and then have a clean look at things on January 1st. Like, we still have to deal with some stuff, but it's amazing how much was packed into a year. And then, but I'm like you, man, when I can take a second and exhale and look, there was still plenty of good things the Lord did this year, and a lot of good things came out of it in my life. Like, I got married.
Yeah, you got married.
Yeah, and I got to spend the pandemic with my wife, which was, that's been amazing. I would have.
That's awesome.
Because before that, I was living at home alone in a 2-bedroom house in a town that doesn't have very many people my age. And I, not only that, but I would have been like just doing it by myself. I can't imagine where I would be 9 months into this, like having to be, essentially having to become an introvert, which is not who I am. It's not possible for me. So I would have just been, a heaping pile of disaster. You would be scraping me up with a snow shovel and saying like, here, come sleep in my basement that floods. You know, that's what you would
do. I don't even have a basement.
I would have had to brought my raft and slept down there. But anyways, there's still like
every time it rains too hard, it's like the Lost Sea in Tennessee. Like there's just like an underground lake.
Yes. It's amazing. In my house. I don't even know where I was going, but this is super
well, just that the Lord gave you a wife in a year where, you know, it is interesting, like, thinking back to, like, you know, even, like, a year and a half ago, and you and D-Rod, like, making your, you know, like, we're going to get motorcycles and wives this year.
Yeah.
And D-Rod did get a motorcycle.
He got both.
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got married. And shout out to Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, like, you know, but, like, for you to be able to do this pandemic with her, and it's just, like, as, the more we talk about it, the better that deed of the Lord gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're right. And that's why I think this verse is so cool, because it's what it's saying is, here's what the wise do. The wise just, like, mull over and chew on and think about and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's done things because he loves you, and the more you think about him, the wiser you get.
Right. That's right.
I think that's really cool.
I think that's super cool. I'm encouraged by it. Anyways, thank you for doing this podcast with
me today. Are you going to have a... Oh, man, thank you, dude. This is sweet and fun. Are you going to, like... Do you hope to get, like, carrot cake or anything like that? Don't you love carrot cake?
I do. I do literally love carrot cake. I also like strawberry cake. I just like sugar. The thing that Maddie just brought me is called an iced caramel macchiato with cream.
Yeah.
It's literally sugar. It's all it is. And it's amazing. I basically drank the whole thing already. Like, I'm like, let's go. Here we go. Let's do the day.
It was just like 300 calories of sugar.
For sure. I was doing wind sprints last night because you just got to ring in 27 with some wind sprints. And I almost puked everywhere. And I think it's because I have so much sugar in my life. I can't stop it. I'm just like, that's one thing the pandemic has terribly done for me. I just pound the sugar right now. Mix it with flour. And I'll eat it.
Put it in an oven.
Let it rise. I'll eat it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Thanks for letting us be part of your 2020. And we hope that it's been a blessing.
Yes.
And in a hard year, just to have a couple of dudes just kind of jawing.
How many years have we done this?
I have no concept of that.
Me neither.
I have no idea. Ian might know.
Ian would tell us.
Yeah, Ian probably knows.
Enough that we've probably... lost and regained listeners who forgot that they listened to it.
They probably started
in like 2017, put it down, and then last year we're like, I've never heard of this podcast before. Started listening to it and forgot that they'd ever listened to it before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the case. Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes.
My hope is that 2021 is going to be sweet for us all, and we're going to.
You had no interest.
Take a turn for the better.
No interest in the thing I just said. None at all. You said.
What about people dropping the podcast and coming back to it?
Yeah, that's from the scripture. You can always return. Return to me.
Oh my gosh. Return to the podcast, and the podcast will return to you. From the book of Micah.
That's bad. That was bad.
Or Malachi? Is it Malachi?
That's bad.
It's Malachi.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Thomas.
Thank you, Lee.
Okay, everyone, have a great end of the year, and we'll see you next year. This has been H&M New.
Bye. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast told. It is well with my soul.